Welcome everybody to the big call tonight. It is Thursday, isn't it? Yeah, it's Thursday, September 17th, and you're listening to the big call. Thanks everybody for tuning in once again, wherever you're coming in from, whether you're listening live or listening on the replay link or on the replay numbers or whatever. However you're tuning into the big call, we appreciate it tonight. So thank you all over the globe, wherever you're coming from. We thank you, and we hope that we'll have a very good call for you tonight. So without further ado, let me pray the call in, and then we'll go to Sue for one of her wonderful teachings from God's Word. Lord God, thank you so much for keeping us safe, keeping us in a good place. We know that we are closer, that you are closer than a brother to us. We know that no one can snatch us out of your hand. We know that we are in a very solid place of waiting. We've been chosen for such a time as this. We feel as though we have been called to this. We know that this is the greatest wealth transfer in the history of the world, and this is the wealth of the wicked laid up for the just. And we thank you for that. We thank you for this call, for the audience out there that tunes in faithfully every Tuesday and Thursday night, and we thank you that that you are bringing a blessing so great to us that we might not be able to contain it. Would it be possible? But we are going to contain it, and we're going to be good stewards of it to help humanity throughout the globe. Bless this call, we pray. Bless those that are listening. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, Sue, I'm excited, as is Bob, I predict, to hear what it is you'll bring to us tonight.
As in, I don't mean to speak for Bob.
Exactly. Don't mean to speak for Bob, but exactly, if I were right to speak for Bob, I bet Bob is excited. I know Bob loves these teachings just as much as I do, and this is great. Bob said, you know, Bruce, this is like being able to go to church twice a week. I said, you know, when we started this call 9 years ago now, I said this, we called ourselves the Remnant. We called ourselves a church without walls. And that's what I would like us all to become and be, is a church, a community of believers without walls to contain us and hold us in, and also that we can, that we don't have to break out of to go and do the things that Christ would have us do. So with that, Sue, it's all you.
Does God know you? 10 things to remember when you're talking to God. I was introduced to the supernatural at a young age, but not in the way you might imagine. Nobody laid hands on me or prayed for me in tongues. My experience with the supernatural was a direct result of my desperation for a miracle. My mom had painful psoriasis from head to toe, and one evening I said aloud into the open space of my bedroom, "If there's a God, if you heal my mother, I'll find out who you are and I'll serve you the rest of my life." An audible voice replied, "My name is Jesus Christ, and you have what you requested." I had no idea who Jesus was. I'd never read the Bible before, and the most influential person in my life was a professed atheist, my grandfather. He became a born-again believer 1 year before he died. When I woke up the next morning, just like the unknown voice had promised, my mom was completely healed. It was about a week later, the voice spoke to me again and said, "I healed your mother, and you said, if I healed your mother, you would serve me, and I'm waiting." What many may not understand when I share this testimony is that, of course, it was transformational because my heart and mind were enlightened to the reality that God was real, yet The unfathomable discovery I made that day was the resounding thought that God knew me. Does God know you? If you've been around the church for very long, then you know many people place an emphasis on the importance of us knowing God, as there should be. But I'd like to propose to you that it's just as important to realize that God knows you. You may be thinking, of course God knows me. He knows everything. Yet according to Jesus in Matthew 7:21-23, it's very possible for God to not know you. Quote, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" To add to that thought, Jesus said in John 4:23-24, that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The word truth in this passage doesn't mean the Bible or the Torah. It's not translated to logos or rhema. Rather, the word truth in this passage means nothing hidden or to be real. Listen, there's something powerful about choosing to know someone out of love instead of obligation. Do you understand? God's not looking for people who know him based on rote memory, as that's not how he desires to know you. He's not looking for plastic perfect people. He's looking for open-hearted, laid-down lovers that worship him in spirit with nothing hidden from him. 10 things to remember when talking to God. When I cried out to God as a young boy and admitted aloud that I didn't even know if I believed in him, God wasn't offended. In fact, if the scriptures are true, and I know that they are, God was pleased with my seeking sincerity. This is what he desires. And just as he said to me so many decades ago, I propose there are many more out there, maybe even some who are reading this, who God is speaking to saying, "I am waiting." He's waiting for you to come out of hiding. He's waiting to have a real relationship with you. To help you, I created a quick list of 10 things to remember when you're talking to God. Remember, with the reality that the creator of the universe wants to intimately know you. 1, be real. Don't tell God what you think. He wants to hear, but rather, what's on your heart. 2, be honoring. God may be your best friend, but he remains the creator of the universe. 3, be respectful. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9:10. Be ready to listen. Prayer is a reciprocal exchange with God. When you're honest with God, prepare for him to be honest with you. 5, it's not about how long you pray. Rambling on and on or attempting to speak eloquently isn't the point. It's who answers you that matters. 6, don't pray to impress your friends. Prayer is not a competition, nor is it a sign of superior spirituality. 7, God isn't only a crisis hotline. If you talk to God only when you have a crisis, trust that he loves you enough to let you stay in one. I'll let you think about that one. 8, sincerity goes a long way. It's important to tell God how you feel and to ask for what you need, as vulnerability and sincerity are acts of an open heart that pleases the Lord. And 9, talk to God about your needs. God may know what you need before you ask, but he enjoys your requests. Identifying your needs postures you in a place of expectant faith that pleases him. Hebrews 11:6. And finally, nevertheless, pray. Instead of waiting for all else to fail, try seeking God's thoughts and ways through prayer and thanksgiving and developing an authentic relationship with God. I'll leave you with a reminder that whether you've known the Lord intimately for years or if you have no idea if he's real, he's speaking these words over you today. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. May you find courage to come to him open-hearted today. And that's our teaching for tonight. Bruce?
He's awestruck, Sue. He's speechless.
I didn't get to say hi. I guess that's good. He's muted.
Yeah.
Let's try that. Is that better?
Probably got this great commentary going on, and nobody can hear it.
No, I'm there. Can you hear me?
Yeah. We can hear you.
Okay, good. Yeah, I do have a great commentary, as a matter of fact, and it wasn't going on, Bob, but I'm ready to start. Yeah, I somehow got unmuted there, or got muted. Listen, Sue, that was really, really good. Thank you for finding that. I thought it was wonderful teaching. And one thing that I got out of it was, first of all, the audible voice. That happens to people occasionally. They hear Jesus speak to them audibly, or they hear God audibly. Some people hear them sort of by the Spirit. They don't hear the voice, but they hear it in their mind. They hear it in their head, or they hear it in their spirit. And either way, it's all good, of course. But, you know, the fact that the writer of this kind of made a deal with God and said, if you heal my mother, et cetera, I will serve you for the rest of my life. And then God said, after he did that, after he performed that miracle, he said, I'm waiting. I think that's really cool. It kind of goes under the be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you pray for, because you might be surprised by the result. And I think the second part of what I like about it was, we know that God is love. We know that God is unconditional love. And we know that our love should be like God's love, but we know that a lot of times we put conditions on our love. And it reminds me of when Jesus was talking to Peter and asking Peter the question, do you love me? And Peter answered, yes, Lord, I phileo you. I love you, which is like a strong liking. Like, as if to say, I like you very much. Jesus asked him again, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, I phileo you. I like you very, very much. Oh, yeah. And then, finally, Jesus says, but do you love me? And then, you know, with an unconditional agape love. And that's the response that Jesus was looking from Peter. Yes, I love you unconditionally with a godlike love. And that's what we are all called to do, to love one another with that unconditional love, in as much as it's possible for us to do that. And I just got that out of the teaching as well as a few other things. I thought it was really good, And gosh, it just there was a lot of truth in all of that scripture that you brought out, Sue. I appreciate it very much. It was very meaningful to me. Bob, what would you say about that teaching for you?
Well, I think it was just amazing, the introduction with the story about the voice coming that says, "I am Jesus Christ," and have never read the Bible or knew what it was, knew who Jesus was. It's like, that to me just makes the hair stand up on my arms. You know, that's just really, really amazing story. Yeah. And I particularly liked the number 9 where Sue was talking about needs and, like, don't be afraid to, you know, pray for what it is that you need. And then I started thinking about how needs and feelings go together. And so it came to me that maybe something I would try is, instead of focusing on what I think my needs are, instead I'll focus on the feelings that I know that God wants me to have more of. So if I wanted to focus and say, and then ask in my prayer, what do I need in order to feel more loving? And as Bruce was just saying about love being the most important thing. So I'm thinking, wouldn't it make sense to say in your prayer, please show me what I need so I can be more loving? And then you can add in another one, please show me what I need so I can be more grateful. Please show me what I need so I can feel more faithful. And instead of having these perceived needs that might be related to money or this or this or this, maybe it could be really helpful to have God show you what you need. Because ultimately what people want is to feel better or to feel more of something. It's not so much a thing they need, but it's a feeling that needs to be purified and amplified. And so thank you so much for that teaching, Sue. I'm going to do that tonight. I'm going to try that tonight, that which came to me while I was listening to the teaching. And it's like, now I can't wait for the call to be over so I can go.
To be over, yeah.
So everybody talk really fast so I can go do this.
We'll do it, Bob. We'll do it. We'll try to do that.
That's so funny.
Yeah, Sue, it's like, go ahead. I want to hear what you want to say, and then I've got another comment. Go ahead, Sue.
That was beautiful. And what it meant to me, and you highlighted it, Bob, was, it's a demonstration of how getting close to God means stepping out of, just like you said, out of these things that we think we need that are kind of habits, like you need money or you need this or you need that. It's a much more interior, direct experience. And that he had that experience of how intimate Christ was with him, and God was with him, and it was about listening and growing close. It's like listening to get close. It's union with God. And I just thought it was very powerful that it's that close. It's that direct. It's all you have to do is have the willingness to receive it and be open to it. Like he says here, it was something about just, you know, not everybody is going to gain access to God by just doing all these things. It's going to be about that intimate relationship with God is the ultimate thing for renewal, for next steps, for closeness, for ultimate satisfaction. I mean, that's basically what you're going to go get off the phone. Show me my next steps that I may not even be able to know right now to experience my highest connection and fulfillment in you. I mean, that's the ultimate prayer right there. So those are my thoughts about it.
It's good, Sue. Really good. And Bob, I think just piggybacking on what you were saying about asking God to show you what you might need, asking God to communicate with you as to what you might pray for. And Jesus said, hitherto, how do you like that word, hitherto? Hitherto you have asked, you know, hitherto you have asked, I believe it was nothing in my name. Then he says, ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. So he wants us to ask that question for what we want. In other words, make our needs known to God. Make our needs known. And if you need help defining what those are, then that's a conversation with God that you were suggesting, Bob. But his point is, ask. If you don't ask, you don't get. We know that. We know that in general things in life. But if you ask God, you know, through Christ, you will receive. Ask that you may receive, that your joy may be full. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. And I just think that's a great way to say, keep talking to me. You know, he wants us to be closer than a brother. That's pretty close. And, you know, you do that with relationship, just like Sue said. You know, he wants a relationship with his children, men, women, children. And I think as long as we keep the lines of communication open, we can achieve that. We really can. And we can know God, and he can know us. So I love that teaching. I think we could go all night with that. But we know Bob wants to pray about it and think about it afterwards. So we'll move right on. But thank you, Bob and Sue, for that. That was really good discourse. I appreciate that so much. Sue, in the same light, tonight is a night where we do have our prayer request answered. And so let's see, do we have any tonight?
We do. We are waiting and anticipating some praise reports, and so we look forward to those. But we have not too many, but some significant prayer requests. So shall I get started?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay. So I'd like everybody to get into that wonderful space of being grateful and filled with Christ, and just, you know, connecting to the community that's with you right now, or if you're listening to this later, just be thinking about how you're joining your heart and your mind of Christ with these prayers. And we're going to start with a dear friend of the Big Call. And his name is Rick, and he's a dad to many alpacas, and he's very close to this family and close to me in particular. And Rick is challenged at the moment with a tumor on the back of his knee. And we're going to see that this tumor is removed, that he has a new femur, and that whatever is going on with this whole process, that this is the last issue that he has to face. And we're going to see Rick surrounded with all of our prayers, with Christ's healing energy amplified exponentially through our hearts. And we're going to see that he's cancer-free and that his tumor is dissolved He's walking, everything to do with being ready and lined up to experience this blessing has already occurred, and he has the faith and confidence that he is deeply loved, deeply cherished, and that Christ and this whole community love him. And we see him healed and blessed, and everyone that's going through any medical condition healed and blessed, as we say. Amen. And then
Amen.
We have another prayer. We have another prayer for Jeannie, who is also having health issues, and she needs us to see her whole life restored. So for anyone listening to these prayers, we're going to see that all of our life system, we're going to be talking about that tonight, our entire configuration, there are going to be no holes. There are going to be nothing wobbly. And for Jeannie, we're going to see that her spouse has returned, her finances are fixed, her air conditioning and heating unit, everything is in perfect working order. And if anything goes a little bit off, we always have faith that it's just adjusting to a higher level. And that's for Jeannie. And then we're going to do our final prayer. And this is for a person that's been listening to the big call for, oops, I just lost my spot. Hold on a second. For a number of years. And unfortunately, she lost her house to the Alameda fire in Oregon. So we're asking that she and her daughter Faye and her son Bryce find their way to a beautiful and brighter spot, that they see this event, even though there's loss, they see how fine and wonderful and supported they are, and that becomes the new bedrock for a much larger faith, a much greater strength, and for a divine flow of miracles that surpasses any loss that they've experienced. And we give thanks for this beautiful community of believers that are practicing and refining and raising up their prayers to care for others. And with that, we close our prayer requests in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Sue, for that. And I'd like to just say a really short prayer to pray for all of those right now that are in the path of these fires, whether they've already had a loss or potentially could have a loss. I just want to say, Lord Jesus, please, we speak safety for those who are in the path of these fires in California and Oregon. Let the rains come to extinguish these fires. Let them find the people that are setting these fires and let them deal with them accordingly. But let the people that are innocently in the path of these fires, let their properties be saved, let them be saved, and let this pass as these fires are being tended to by all the faithful firefighters from wherever they are in the country and even Canada that have come down to help. We just thank you for them, and we just pray that this would be an event that would no longer capture all of those people in those states. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, thank you, Sue, so very much for that time of prayer. We appreciate it so much, and our hearts are with you, Rick, and we're continuing to lift you up and believe for you as well. Sue, thank you again. We are back to you for your segment. So I'm excited to hear what you're going to bring to us tonight.
I'm excited too. I'm excited too because, you know, I have fun on Tuesday and Thursday morning, and I know Pastor Scott will relate, and any pastors out there, because that's when I, you know, kind of get quiet, and I think about, you know, I find the teaching, and I go through, you know, what does our community need to hear? And I hope you enjoy this, because I was just reflecting on what really makes the world-class presentation and redemption readiness sessions so special is that we are the brightest hearts in the world. The people that show up for this session, Bruce, are just incredible. So I had three beautiful sisters from Hawaii, Oahu, as a matter of fact, last night, and they had incredible projects. They had such a beautiful, loving, intelligent spirit, and we laughed, and I learned cool new words. Anybody want a cool new Hawaiian expression? I'll give it to you really quick. You take that, like that surfer, put your thumb up in the air. I can see Bob doing this. And put your pinky down, Bob, and, shake your hand, and then you go like this. Shaka. I know they're laughing if they're hearing this. Shaka. It means awesome. And then if you add imua, you go shaka imua. And it means awesome going forward. So if you want to delight, kind of go a little novel and wake people's brains up, you can always go shaka imua. And then tonight I had a wonderful, wonderful meeting. And you'll like this story, Bruce, with a gentleman I'm going to just call him Jay. And I started telling him, how I got involved with the call and the team and all that. He goes, "Oh, yeah, I remember you. I was on the call. I was like five, I was there 6 years ago. I used to call in all the time." And so we started kind of going into old home week. And he was an amazing, amazing guy. I won't give where he's from. Really talented, really professional, very, successful. And just to hear what he said about the call, I mean, this is a seriously successful businessman. I said, what did you get out of this? And he said, to be honest, just the design of the presentation and how to language it so that, now this guy's in real estate, so that I wouldn't be too much for the banking types, but you helped me be bold, but kind of noble and humanitarian. And then, he said, talking about the decisions that I would be making while I was in the negotiation room and right after. He said that was really helpful just to have that feedback and that development in the world-class session. So that's to say what we're going to talk about tonight, which is we're in the business, Bob is in the business of developing and strengthening a whole new system and way of being around health and systemizing your nutrition and growing and developing in your health. And I'm about making it a system and how you're going to present in that room so that people can, understand you clearly. You're going to be developing your ideas and the amount of time that they have, and that you can just feel confident and you know what's going to be happening, and it's clear and it's designed so that it's good for them and it's good for you. So it's all about tonight helping you design your communication. That's number one. And number two, we're going to be talking about a little pre-development, which is designing your future. And only going to take about maybe 4 minutes. So let's go into what you can do right now to go through another developmental doorway is what I'm going to call it. I just want you to think, if you're still not down with getting your projects written down, or if you've got your projects written down and you want to kind of just spend some time refining what you're going to present at the Redemption Center, I'd like you to think about this. I want you to think about having what you have versus trying. You're not going to be trying to impress them. You're not going to be, you know, you're not going in there for a loan. You know, it's this model of, you know, trust me, I've been in a lot of dog and ponies in my career. This isn't about like proving to get a job. No, this is about demonstrating three different qualities to the people so that they can feel comfortable about who you are. Your life experience, the knowledge that you have, or the heart that you have for your projects, and the research that you've done. That's a really easy piece that you can provide them with instead of tons of budgets and spreadsheets that are most likely going to be, you know, inaccurate. You can do what's called an advanced Google search and just do some background on your projects and be knowledgeable about your projects. Know what the future of, you know, self-healing concrete, new building materials is going to be. Know what, you know, doing recyclable tire plants all over the world, what that's going to be about, what the future of that is going to be and the next generation of that. If you develop your research, you understand what your, you know, what your background has been, and if you just prove to them that your commitment, your research, and your heart are deeply behind your projects, and you can show something tangible for that, like the amount of research you've done, how you design your communication, and basically, you know where you're going. You're going to go very far and very well when you're in that negotiation room. So they're just looking for people that aren't going to be casual with it and say, here's my Zim. Yeah, I can just talk about a couple of humanitarian projects. You could do okay with that, but if you want to do better, just follow what I just gave you. And then as a second and final piece, something I want everybody to be aware of is future, you know, you are going to be a leader if you're in humanitarian projects. And one of the things I like to do, because I'm with some very smart people, I like to go out ahead of where they are. And so here's my out ahead of where you are and perhaps maybe going beyond even the people that you're going to be working with. And here's the key. The biggest thing that is happening on our planet today is that just about every system, you can say system, let's use instead of institution, every system is going through a redesign. That means that because of the quantum financial system, everything is going to start to speed up. Money can get transferred. Things are going to be built and developed faster. New solutions are going to come online faster. Every system is going to go through a revision and a redesign. The best thing that you can do is start to look at and search. Go look up systems and system design thinking. Systems and system design thinking. And if you want to just spend a half an hour, maybe twice a week, understanding that concept. Because most of us are going to be pulling in people and saying, okay, help me architect how this project rolls out. What is the information infrastructure? What is the help me design it? And that's where you're going to need a systems design architect. Get to know this language a little bit, and then you can kind of help the people that you hire and the people that you're interfacing. I was thinking about Bob and Bruce, and Bob already knows this because he's, you know, developing, you know, websites that have to have a user experience associated with it. just look up what you can do to understand systems thinking and systems design thinking. And if you do that, it's going to open up a whole world. You'll have a new lens to look at your world, and it's also going to open up a lens to help you lead your people and the people you're going to be working with so you understand that you're going to be designing and creating systems. You're going to be creating new worlds. And if you do this ahead of time, you're going to have a window or a frame to look through and better understand and better handle how you launch your projects. So systems design thinking and systems thinking, make that a fun little next month research process. It's really, really going to help you. It's state of the art. And then the other thing is knowing what you're bringing into that negotiation room so that you can bring your life experience, your heart experience, and your research to prove that you've done due diligence and have leadership commitment to your projects. And that's my segment for tonight.
Thank you, Sue. I thought that was really good, very, very strong, good practical ideas. I love system design thinking and that whole concept of research and the future of whatever your project idea is and getting ahead of the curve, you know, getting ahead of the wave so that you're out in front, you're out in front of it. And I think that's a great example for us to be able to do that, and it'll help us construct our projects, get our people hired that'll be leaders and that'll use system thinking approaches to our projects. And so that's really very valuable, I thought, tonight, Sue.
Oh, thank you, Bruce.
You're welcome. I thought it was great, too. And I love the Hawaiian expression, shaka, and the other word was?
Imua.
Imua, right?
I-M-U-A. Yep, shaka.
I-M-U-A, imua. Shaka, imua.
Shaka, imua.
Yes, shaka, imua. Yes, you have to be a kama'aina to say that. That's what I'm wondering. I don't think to be a kama'aina.
No, but that took pressing. And I would say hi to my friends. That took pressing, you know. Give me some cool Hawaiian names for celebration for this. I kept asking. They go, okay, Sue, we got one. Shaka. Awesome. Imua. Forward. I mean, you could do... Imagine using that at the close of your redemption center as they're saying, well, we hope you enjoyed this experience, and da-da-da-da, and you go, shaka imua.
Shaka imua. Shaka imua. And then you can do a fire dance, too, you know.
Exactly,
I think you
right.
should light up a torch and start doing a fire dance, doing a true hula, which is, you know, a warrior dance. Yeah, absolutely. All of you guys that are listening over in Hawaii are listening and going, yeah, man, that's right. Yeah, they got it. They got the idea. Yeah, just make sure I get the kama'aina rate when I tee off over there, okay? You guys know what I'm talking about. Okay. So, listen, Sue, that was really good. Thank you for that. That was so cool. And hello to all our Hawaiian friends over in 808 area code. So, Sue, that was cool. That was very cool. Thank you for that. And, yeah, we can definitely apply that and put that to good use for our leadership aspect of our projects. Very good. Very good. Now, when it comes to leadership, Bob is someone who has been a leader in health for many years. And so, Bob, we did get a chance to talk a little bit this afternoon. Thoroughly enjoyed that. So shaka imua to you, Bob.
Yeah.
All right. I got it written down. Awesome going forward. It's like joyful anticipation of the future.
Oh, God.
There you go.
Oh, God.
That's great. I'm ready. I got that. I got it written down. I love words like that. You know, like in Russian, they say "отлично," which means excellent.
Oh,
and I love learning the different words from different languages that express this exuberant, you know, vocalization of how they feel great.
Yeah,
exactly. That's so good.
Speaking of how they feel great, we have a testimonial, a new one, from a man. His initials are DF, and he gives a 5-star review. Says, and he sent a picture of himself riding his bike. It says, "I absolutely love these products as I have much more energy, and my eyesight is even better. I'm continuing to cycle 80 to 100 miles weekly, as these supplements allow me to reduce my time each week. Thank you to Boomers for the whole team and what you are doing." And here's the best part. "Now, if the RV would just happen, that would be a blessing for sure." So this is his testimonial. So this is just great, right? Here I have this nutrition company, and people are writing testimonials and mentioning the RV in the testimonial.
That
is cool, Bob.
That's great.
Bob, initials DF? Is that what they were?
Yeah, DF.
All right, DF. Let me say this to DF, Bob. Just make sure your middle name is not Norman, because then it would be DNF, did not finish. We don't want that. We don't want DNF by your name on the race card, okay? Okay, DF. That was really good, Bob. I like that. Thanks, DF, for that. And, yes, we're going to bring this RV in, brother. Hang in there. Keep cycling.
There you go. You know, today, Bruce, I was talking to a man who I've been helping with his health. He had a heart attack at the age of 50. And he started using our products, Boomer Boost and Barley. And after about 3 weeks, he said that he really noticed that he was feeling much better, and that his energy came back. He started losing weight right away, and his wife was commenting about how well he was doing. And then today, when I was with him, I met him face-to-face for the first time. He drove from Miami to meet me at a meeting that I drove down in Bradenton. And afterwards, he was talking to me, and he goes, "Do you think you can help my mom? Because she's starting to show signs of dementia, and her mother had dementia and died from Alzheimer's disease." Mm-hmm. And so I started talking to him about this and how I would work with his dad and his sister to get her the things that she needs, you know, including the same type of products that he's using, as well as getting a PEMF mat to begin to help her and other things. And then, this was interesting, I started looking through the Medscape daily news, and in the news for today, there is the release of a study called "Can the Brain Bounce Back from Decline with Lifestyle Change?" And this was a study that was done that followed these adults that were having trouble with memory and other cognitive issues. They studied 119 people. They were over the age of 65, all of them, and the mean age was 73 years old. Mm-hmm. And they followed them over the course of 6 months, and they had people change 3 really simple things. Their diet to follow more of a Mediterranean-style diet. which is low in high glycemic index carbs and higher in proteins and good fats, and doing moderate exercise and engagement, meaning spend more time engaging in activities, getting out of the house, and doing things, basically. And it's the study showed that it actually worked. People made significant increases in their ability to perform on certain tests and to be able to recall names and all these different parameters that they measured. So I'm looking at this and I'm going, isn't this interesting? Because today I was just being asked, you know, by this man, Eric, about his mom. And so I was telling him different things that he can do. And then here's this study that was released today.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking about this and I'm like, these are like the most simplistic things that they study. They help people with diet and exercise and, you know, get engaged, right? And that's all it took. And I started thinking to myself, what is going to happen if they really understood and really addressed things that were even more important, such as reducing their inflammation and, you know, helping them improve their circulation, making sure that they had complete hormone profiles of all of their, you know, all of their important hormones, thyroid hormones, adrenal hormones, et cetera, a neurotransmitter test, for example, to see if they, you know, had an imbalance in serotonin and norepinephrine, because there's things you can do about that. And what about if they had a Doppler of their carotid artery to see if maybe they had been having TIAs, mini strokes, right? Mm-hmm. And if so, what would you do about it to perhaps use chelation to clear out those arteries and of course reduce your inflammation so you stop clogging those arteries? And then you would also really want to check things like vitamin B12, which a deficiency of which can show up as dementia. And when getting your thyroid tested, make sure you get your reverse T3 tested, which is almost never done on a regular test. And what about getting your D3 tested to make sure that it's not too low, because that alone can cause dementia, right? And so I'm looking at this, and I'm going, and none of this stuff is difficult to do, right? None of it. I mean, how hard is it to ask your doctor for complete male or complete female hormone profiles and adrenal stress indexes? And by the way, could you check my vitamin D and my B12 while you're at it, and maybe check my iron and my A1C and my CRP? I'd like to know what's going on. And oh, by the way, can I get the dried urine test kit for testing my neurotransmitters and all the downstream metabolites, right? And so there's so many things that we can do that are readily available. None of this stuff is complicated, right? It's all readily available. And I just am now beginning to wonder how many people, like what percentage of the people could really be helped with issues of dementia, regardless of the cause, if they and their families would actually do these things and work together with their doctor, right, to get the tests and get the interventions that they needed, right? And so I wanted to respond to that study, Bruce, that just came out. And it's like,
yes,
yeah, very important. Diet, exercise, stay engaged, right? But you better also have a strategy for inflammation, circulation, hormones, right? And making sure your arteries aren't clogged and throwing off clots, causing transient ischemic attacks, right? And yep. So that was what was coming to my mind as I was reading this study earlier in the evening and thinking about my visit with this man, and I'm going to send him this study, but I'm also going to send him this list that we discussed tonight. And then working together with his family, we're going to do our best to help his mom.
Well, that's the whole key, Bob, is you hit on it. You're acting as the advocate for the family, and you can intercept and represent their issues with their doctor, or you can educate them to the point where they can do it. But I was thinking while you were talking about that, what's it like when Bob, our Bob, goes in, if he were to go in and talk to the doctor? I mean, the doctor's going to hand you the stethoscope, Bob, and say, you know, because you know so much. You know more than he does about a lot of things. And I just think it's important if we can somehow gain that knowledge that you're imparting to us Tuesday and Thursday nights and remember it and use it with our own doctors to where we have the comfort level, we have the confidence that you have, and that we can represent our own bodies accurately, properly to the doctor and get him to open that communication link. Because, you know, most doctors don't have a connection with the patient. It's just a number. It's a patient. They've got so many to see every day that it's hard for them to really care. It's hard for them to have that bedside manner. They don't really learn that in med school. And that's why there's been such a disconnect in medicine, in taking care of normal everyday patients. And I just think there's got to be a way to somehow communicate what it is you're saying. And I do it the best I can, you know, with my doctor as far as the tests and all that and so on. But there's still a little bit of a disconnect because, you know, there just is. And I just think that's wonderful that you're doing that for that family. And essentially, you're an advocate for the mother. And I think you're our advocate too, Bob. You're an advocate for every listener of the Big Call because you put this information out every Tuesday and Thursday night routinely, faithfully, and we're all beneficiaries of it. And we just need to assimilate it and own it so that we can act, you know, in our own best accord as our own advocate going in and talking with our physicians or physician's assistants. So thank you, Bob. I really appreciate that. And it's important for everybody to realize you may not be able to get Bob on the phone. Now he's as busy as he's ever been, maybe more. But his staff is also trained and very sharp, and they can answer questions that you might have. So this is a, you know, I hate to say Bob is a tool, but Bob is an asset that we have, and Boomers, the staff, is an asset that those of us on the Big Call, we're being taken very well care of by that company, better than any nutrition company would ever care about us, because of the affiliation that we have with Bob and because of the fact that he's, you know, a vital team member on our call, just as Sue is a vital team member. And so I just really think that we are favored, you know, to have Bob and his knowledge going forward and for so many years now, a little over 5 years. So that's what I wanted to say about it, Bob. Go ahead and continue on.
Well, thank you. That's actually all I had for tonight, Bruce. And wanted to say thank you again for having me on the call and having me participate. It's really great.
Well, Bob, let me ask you this. We did pretty well, I guess, with offering the Boomer Boost sale on Tuesday night, and I think a lot of people responded, and I think that was really wonderful. And so thank you for offering that And then we do have, let's see, we're just barely past the halfway point of the month. So this is a great time, obviously, to check in. I want you to make sure everybody, because we may have some new listeners on the call, everybody has the website. All they do is go to bigcalluniverse.com, and then when they land on the homepage, they can click on the banner that says Boomers. And Boomers will take you right into your website, Bob, and then they can see all the products that are offered, the products on sale. They can see the footers and see what videos are available for free and so on. And they can get connected to the YouTube channel, everything. It's all right there. And then they can obviously put an order together and put whatever they want in their cart. Most of the products are offered in combo packs that are really affordable ways to buy them. And I think it's really a good way for us to go moving forward. Also, there is a phone number so that you can occasionally, if it's an absolute necessity, emergency, sometimes you can get Bob, and other times you'll have to get someone else that will be just very helpful with you. And that number is 727-443-2500. 727-443-2500. So put that number in your phone. Put it under Boomers, parentheses Bob, and you'll remember exactly who it is, and then you can go to it if you have a need for a family member or a friend or someone like that. So, Bob, that's very, very good. I really appreciate any time we can talk about preventing dementia and you know, Alzheimer's as a result. This is going to be the next major problem, is dementia. That's what they're saying. This is something that was talked about today in the news, and I thought it was very interesting that you're on top of it and ahead of the curve, just like Sue is. So thank you so much, Bob, for that. And we will do our best to honor the request to get this RV in.
All right.
That's the last major thing we'll have to do. Thank you, Bob. I appreciate that again.
You're
now,
welcome.
Yeah. Well, let's see. It's Thursday night. Tuesday, we did have some pretty good information. We got more yesterday, of course, and then we got a little bit today that kind of gets us to the point where we're moving forward, but it seems like molasses. We're moving slowly, but we are moving forward. The boxes of bonds, this is primarily Zim, other assets, are being hypothecated, being cleared in the Zim platforms, not only in the U.S. and New York and Miami and Dallas, Reno, but also in London, in Zurich, and also in Singapore. So that was what? 7 locations around the world where that is taking place. And that's important. That is happening with those platforms and groups. That's happening so that they can establish the rate for the ZIM. But it's in the process now, and we're not too far away from where we should be. We are also looking to get some notification on the USN being a tradable reality digitally. That will be, I believe, a fairly simple thing when the USD accounts are transferred to USN, because it is a digital thing we're talking about happening. Within the QFS system, there's obviously a protocol for that, and we're just about to the point where we should have that transition to take place. And it has to do with collateral accounts, being in the position to pay out in that USN currency. We talked about cleanup on aisle three on Tuesday night. That did take place again Wednesday, and this was in about a 15-hour period with a little over 2,100 pickups, if you will. And that was globally. And that was something that needed to be done. My understanding is that is that aspect of it, those arrests and so on, are done. And then we've got another group, of course, that's still in process that will probably, it's a much, much smaller number, but these are key individuals that need to be cleaned up, if you will, should take place by Saturday or Sunday. So it's moving forward. We know the Redemption Center staffs are sort of on a part-time basis right now, going in for about 3 hours a day, today, tomorrow, Saturday, possibly Monday, possibly, from around 10:30 to 1:30 in the day. Now, if something pops while they're there, they'll add reinforcements and we'll be good to go. Everything will be moving forward. And that's what we want. So there's sort of that activity going on at redemption centers. And then we also have the possibility of, well, when is it going to be our turn? Well, from what I've heard yesterday and today, we're sort of in the window from any time from now to Tuesday morning. And it could pop any time within that, except probably not on Sunday. Probably not, because I know that the Redemption Center staff is not, they are off on Sunday. But don't write off the fact that it's Thursday night. We're not necessarily deferred to next Tuesday. We could, something could pop for us anytime between now and Tuesday morning, we think. That's what we have. Now, one Treasury source has said that we should be in the banks, meaning redemption centers, we should be in the redemption centers by Monday. Or be, actually, they said before Monday. Well, okay, I'll receive that. That would point to Friday and Saturday, wouldn't it? Now, that's one Treasury source. Doesn't mean it's absolute. We have the major banks telling us that the possibility is there to go between now and Tuesday. But we know Tuesday morning the staff is going to be available from 9 in the morning till sometime at night, pretty much straight through to the end of the month. So they're going to be prepared. And I'm just going to say it this way. If we were to start Tuesday, not saying we will, it could be before then, we could, who knows, but if we were to start Tuesday, that would only give us 9 days, including Tuesday, to exchange and redeem Zim by the end of the month, which is their goal. Their goal is to get Tier 4B in and out by the end of this month, so that John Q. Public can start on the 1st of October. All right, so that gives us a pretty tight little window. Can we do it in 9 days? Oh, yeah, sure. Do they want the Zim in 4 or 5 days? Sure they do. Yeah, most of it will be in, probably 90% or so easy would be in that period of time. And they don't want us coming back for second appointments within that time frame either, because they need to keep the redemption centers available for the people doing original exchanges and redemption of Zim, and then they also don't want, let me put it this way, they want the access to wealth managers to be there during that time where they're not dealing with other issues. So we're going to be trying to get in and get out. We know certain people in Tier 3 that have gone in and have been paid a small percentage of their exchange, and we know they're going to get another small percentage of their totals on Tuesday. We understand Land of China Global is supposed to get access to funds tomorrow to begin going and doing their projects. If that comes through for them, they've been waiting for a long, long time to get access to funds. And we know that we are moving forward into the adjudicateds and the groups, but we still need for the cores to be paid, which I believe for them to be paid, we do need to have the USN currency or U.S. Treasury notes, gold-backed currency there to transact for the core. That's part of their contract. My understanding is that it would be done in gold-backed currency. And so everything is coming together and just about ready to move in the direction that we all want it in. I believe the core is somewhat separate from Tier 4A as something going before Tier 4A and Tier 4B go together. But we could get surprised with some activity as early as overnight tonight to through this weekend. I think we're looking very, very good for these activities to come forward for us and take us exactly where we need to be. Last time I talked about the NDA a little bit. We talked about the exemption that you would have with primary contacts in an addendum. Hopefully you've got that ready, already printed out, ready to present for your presentation. And I want many of you to consider that Sue is still available to do world-class presentations and review sessions for listeners of the Big Call. And you know you need a PayPal account with $165 for one person and then add $45 for each additional person that you add to your small group. And then, of course, you need your phone number, your cell phone number, and the city and state where at least one of you is calling from so that you'll have an idea of a time zone. And then, of course, you want to email Sue tonight so that she can put you on the list, because she is going through a lot of these listeners, a lot of our listeners, helping them create these incredible world-class presentations. So all you need to do is send her an email, and you know the address by now is integratedminds@hushmail.com. That's integrated, IntegraTed, integratedminds, MINDS, at hushmail.com. Do that. Put the names of the people that would be in your little group, whether it's 1, 2, 3, 4 people, and send that off to her tonight so she can respond. Now, you need to check your emails frequently. Even check your texts and respond after she corresponds with you by email or text you so that she can arrange the timing for the group, for you or the group. All right? So please do that. You won't regret it. It'll be the greatest money you have spent since obtaining your currency, because it absolutely will prepare you more completely than anything that you could do for your exchange experience. So please be able to do that tonight. Let's see, what else? We are looking at the dinar coming up with an international rate on the screen Sunday morning, 9 a.m. Iraq time. And that's going to end up being Saturday night. Let's call it about 1 a.m. in the morning on the East Coast. and then you can use your time zones accordingly. That's going to be good. That's going to be big. Beyond that, it's a matter of them moving through. You know, the cleanup has got to be done far enough along where they're comfortable with us going. And then you also know that the financial system, the QFS, they've got it all buttoned up, and all the countries that were a little hesitant to come in now have come in to the new system. We know the SWIFT is on its last legs and is there primarily right now to catch the bad guys, which is working. They're doing that with it. So this transition that we're about to come into is going to be a major, major paradigm shift for the country, for us, and really for the people that we influence globally, all of humanity that we're able to touch with our blessing. And I'm very excited about it, more excited than I've ever been, and I think we're just about there. Now, will it take all the way to Tuesday? Maybe. It could. But at the same time, we do have that possibility of going, like the one Treasury source said, and be in the banks before Monday. So let's keep that positive spirit working with us and keep the faith for this strong, and then just do the most that you can to be prepared, especially by getting in touch with Sue so that she can put you on the list for a project session, world-class presentation. And let's just go from there. Let's take it from there. I know I'm going to hear more, but what I'm hearing right now is very good, very consistent. It seems a lot of people that we talk to are coming together with a lot of similar information that seems to be confirming, and that's what we want. We want confirming things to come through so that we are all on the same page and that we do get this thing done and bring this blessing to us in Jesus' name. As I mentioned before, hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and it shall be given to you. You know what I mean? Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. And that's what we want. So we're going to ask that way right now, and I'm going to pray the call out and thank everybody for coming in. Thank you, Sue. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, GCK, and others behind the scenes of the Big Call. Thank you, Big Call listeners all over this beautiful globe. Thank you for tuning in so faithfully over the last 9 years, Tuesday and Thursday nights. So we appreciate you. We love you and thank you. And so let's just pray that out, and then Bob can end the call. Lord Jesus, we just ask you to bring in this final blessing. Bring in this great wealth transfer. Bring in the wealth of the wicked, which has been laid up for the just. Thank you so much for the opportunity that we've had to participate in this and to be an integral part of this blessing. Thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives to provide for us, to keep us healthy, to keep us awake, and keep us ever ready for this incredible blessing. Thank you for all that you're doing for us in our lives. Thank you for the listeners on the call. And bless us all. Bless the listenership. Bless us. And thank you for bringing in this incredible blessing to us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Sue. Thanks, everybody that's listening. God bless you all.